This is Jay Sekulow in Washington, D.C. A major protest on behalf of Coptic Christians and more developments on the international front.
Both countries, Ethiopia and Eritrea, the government has decided that there are four religions that are allowed. There is the traditional Orthodox, there are the Lutheran Christians, there are Catholics and Muslims. But today there is a tremendous revival. Many young people are coming to Christ.
We believe!
And they're joining what they call Pentecostal churches.
Woo!
Call them the Penties. Now, this church is illegal.
We believe!
This church is illegal. So, what happens is the government rounds up these young people. So the government rounds up these young people, many really young people, many 20, 25 years old, and they put them in prison.
Well, there you have it, a dramatic opening for a dramatic topic. And the topic, of course, is international persecution of Christians, especially in countries that are becoming predominantly Islamic. A major story breaking right now. By the way, our cameras, as soon as we're done with TV and radio today, our cameras are going down to the White House. There's going to be a major protest involving the whole situation with Egyptian Coptic Christians, some of which have been deported back to Egypt, which is effectively a death sentence. We went to a district court on one of them representing a Coptic Christian and were successful. But a new word coming out of the Archbishop of the Church of England, Jordan, very, very troubling development.
This is the same Archbishop, Dr. Rowan Williams, who thought that Sharia law had a place in English common law. Now he said that Christian doctrine is offensive to Muslims. This is the Archbishop of Canterbury. He's the chief bishop, principal leader of the Church of England. That's the symbolic head of the Anglican Church, which is prevalent in the United States as well. Lots of controversy there. A big conference coming up. The marriage issue has come up with a lot of prevalence in that faith group. But coming now and saying specifically the Trinitarian doctrine conflicts with the Islamic view, that there is just one all-powerful God. And he said that the Christian belief in the Trinity, that God is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is difficult, sometimes offensive to Muslims. And he's putting that out there as a religious leader of the largest denomination in England.
And, of course, offensive to Muslims. I'm holding in my hand the brief that we filed with the United Nations on this defamation of religion issue. That would be defensive, be offensive. It would be defaming a religion to speak out about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, then you're not going to be able to do it under this proposal before the United Nations. Our phone lines are open for you. Folks, here's what I want to hear from you. And Rob Schenck, a good friend of ours, is in the studio with us. Rob, of course, heads up Faith in Action here in Washington, D.C. is involved with the National Clergy Council. But before we get to Rob and before we get to a really in-depth discussion of this, I want you to call in with your questions because and your comments. Folks, we're seeing this rising tide of Islam impacting Turkey, impacting the United States. Now you've got the head of the Anglican Church basically saying to talk about Christianity would be offensive to some Muslims. Therefore, what? Don't speak about Christianity? Is that the alternative? What do you think about this? 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Should the church still speak out on this issue? Rob, we're about to take a break, but before we do, I want to get your comments on this. This is a big issue, and you are, of course, involved in a lot of these.
Well, actually, Jay, I would say it's the biggest issue. It's the biggest issue in the world now when it comes to religious freedom, when it comes to the liberty of Christians around the world, to their safety and security. So this is a number one, if not the number one issue. And as you know, we all have our hands in a lot of things. I serve on the board of the Institute on Religion and Public Policy. That's what we concentrate on. I have traveled to many of these Islamic countries, including Egypt. And I think there's a lot of things we need to talk about beneath the surface here that may be surprising to some to listen to. There's more than one angle on this.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get into that in great depth. Jordan's going to let you know how you get involved in this, folks. This is a serious fight. We need to stand up at the UN and be counted on this. This literally is life and death for these Christians. Jordan's letting you know how to do it.
Yeah, you've got to understand this law would legalize the persecution, the oppression, and in many cases the murder and killing of Christians because of speaking out in their faith. Not even necessarily speaking to a Muslim, but just talking about saying the phrase that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That could get you killed under a human rights law at the United Nations if this goes through. You've got to get involved in this issue. Call that number right now, 877-989-2255. That's 877-989-2255 to add your name to this petition to the UN. I encourage you to check out aclj.org as well.
Around the world, Christians are under attack. In Iran, a couple is tortured for reading the Bible. Two men tried and convicted for possessing Christian books in Algeria. Examples of a growing global crisis. Christians targeted because of their faith. Now, one of the largest organizations inside the United Nations is making a bad situation worse. The Organization of the Islamic Conference at the UN is pushing a dangerous resolution called Combating Defamation of Religions. It's an anti-Christian measure, and it endorses what's taking place in many Muslim countries, where those who even speak about Islam are severely punished with imprisonment, even death. Now more than ever, Christians expressing their faith are now guilty of hate speech. The American Center for Law and Justice, along with its European affiliate, is sending a powerful message to this UN group. Its anti-Christian bigotry won't be tolerated. Stand with the ACLJ and sign on to this petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or add your name online at aclj.org. Now there's a great new way to stay in touch with the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Wireless. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow.
With ACLJ Wireless, you'll get special updates from me and be able to get critical information fast, right from your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
The ACLJ Wireless service, 10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. Choose from the most popular phones. Flexible and affordable calling plans starting at $29.99 with every 6 months of service free. And keep your existing cell number.
By using ACLJ Wireless, you're helping the ACLJ stand up for your rights.
ACLJ Wireless Service from ACLJ Member Services. Call now. 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at acljwireless.com.
This is my right, a right given by God.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Our guest is Rob Schenck, and really not a guest at all. He's been on the program a number of times. A good friend of ours, heads up Faith in Action here in Washington, D.C. He's involved in the National Clergy Council and knows that this issue of Christian persecution is huge. Folks, we're fighting it out at the United Nations, and that's where the Islamic Conference, that's the group that is heading this up. It's the a lot of people that may be just listening to the program for the first time, Jordan, you need to describe what exactly, folks, when you see what we're fighting, you're going to understand the scope of what's at stake here.
57 member countries, four continents, including Central Asia, Asia, of course, Middle East, Central Europe, South America as well, Africa, basically half the continent of Africa is a member of this organization. Countries want to be a part of it. India wanted to join. They were denied because their Muslim population wasn't large enough. Two countries in South America, again, are members, so it comes very close to the United States. It's the second largest intergovernmental organization in the world. What that means is, like the United Nations, every country there does not agree on every single issue, but when they come together with a resolution, with a plan they want to push forward, that means that they have agreed. They have come to a majority stance. They feel that way on the defamation of religion. They also have a definition of terrorism that mirrors something very troubling as well. The reason the United Nations has not defined the word terrorism is because of the Organization of the Islamic Conference. Their definition would exclude, specifically with this language, any kind of attack made by suicide bombers and others against, quote, occupying forces. That would include the United States in Iraq, Israel in the West Bank or Gaza Strip. So that would not be terrorism to go into Israel and blow yourself up, because those would be considered occupying forces. This organization has pushed this through, and it's considered a spokesperson for the Islamic world.
Take it a step further. They say in their public Cairo Declaration of Human Rights and Islam that all human rights must derive from Sharia law. That's what they're saying, which is Quranic law. That's the basis upon which they are letting the platform for human rights go, which would create an absolute disaster. Folks, you go to your phones right now. This is critical that we hear from you. Here's the phone number. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Add your name to this petition so your voice can be heard here, and we'll stand up at the UN to radical Islam. But it's going to take you speaking out. Again, the number's on your screen, 1-877-989-2255. Saying no to this is critical. Of course, ACLJ.org. We're going to get ready to go to the phones. Before we do, before the break, Rob, you said that this is the preeminent threat right now that exists. How serious is it, and what does this mean for the church worldwide?
It's exceedingly serious. First of all, it puts at stake the lives of millions of Christians, many of them part of the oldest Christian communities in the world. And the reason, you know, Jay, the dark side of this story is, you know it as well as I do. In fact, I was just with the ambassador of the OIC, the group we were just talking about on Saturday night. And when you talk to these people, the irony is, and it's true of the leaders of many of these Islamic countries where this kind of persecution is taking place, they are secularist. When you look at them, they are the leadership I'm talking about. But they are in fear of the Muslim Brotherhood, other extremist organizations. They are under as much threat as anyone else is. And so this agenda is driven very much by fear of their own lives.
How serious is, Jordan, you did some research on this, the Muslim Brotherhood connection with the OIC and all of these entities and where we're seeing the persecution come. How serious is the infiltration there?
It is extremely serious. I think this organization represents a lot of very troubling things. One is the coming together of this world. We don't have a unifying force like this among democratic nations. The United Nations is full of a lot of countries who don't like each other. I mean, its main preventative body to stop wars, world wars. And that's what it does. That doesn't mean everyone gets along. Here, there are a lot of resolutions that pass through, where at the United Nations, it can take years to get something through. This is a gigantic voting block. So when they decide on something, they all vote for it. That's 57 votes to the United Nations. That's almost a majority. That's almost enough to get anything through you want. I mean, basically, with a lot of committees. The General Assembly is a little tougher, but you don't have to get that far in the United Nations to have effect.
No, you get something out of the Human Rights Conventions and or added to the Human Rights Treaties, you've effectively modified international law. And what they're doing here, and this is what's so dramatic, is they're going to change the human rights laws so they add a defamation of religion, which will make, as I've been saying on the broadcast, the proclamation of Christianity an international offense. And they're going to get all the nation states to do it. So your voice has to be heard. We have to speak out for those who cannot speak out for themselves. 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. We've got a lot of calls coming in. Let's go right to the phones.
Ron's calling from Connecticut on line 4. Ron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Great.
Thank you for all of your work. Most of us, as Christians, we kind of get lulled to sleep about what's happening around us. In our town, there's a local, I think it's pronounced Masjid, which would be a Muslim church or place of worship.
A mosque, right.
And the particular name of the one in our town is Isa ibn Maryam, which translates to Jesus, son of Mary. And you fear that most people, whether they're nominal Christians or whatnot, drive by and look at that and say, "Oh, isn't that nice, Jesus, son of Mary?"
Well, I mean, here's the thing: it's a free country, so they're allowed to put up signs. Let me make it very clear, though, within Islamic teaching, and Rob, you could address this even better. They do not believe Jesus is the Son of God. In fact, that's the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Israel. We've got video of this. When you look at what's written on the mosque, it says God has no son. So they're very specific about this.
Yeah, that's right. In Islam, Jesus is a prophet.
Right.
He is recognized as a prophet, but he would be an inferior prophet to Muhammad. So people have to get that straight. Even though there is a belief in Jesus and even in Mary as, you know, has a venerable place, but still not at all. It does not comport with Christian doctrine.
Yeah, not at all. But this is they're trying to get a one-way street here through this UN declaration. They're trying to make it that you can't even point those differences out. Let's go right back.
Jack's calling from Texas on line 3. Jack, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jack.
Hello, how are you doing?
We're doing great.
I've just got a quick question for you. As Christians, whenever we sign this petition, what's going to be done if this doesn't work out as far as the petition is concerned?
Yeah, if we can't stop it at the United Nations, we've got two chances here. One is at the Human Rights Council, which I'll tell you right now, it's going to be really tough. Jordan said, I think it's 57 countries, so it's going to be really tough there. Then they've got to go to the General Assembly. I think we can win at the General Assembly. Fact of the matter is, in a couple of months, we're going to be going to Geneva and orally intervening in the hearing. So we'll be making oral presentations, redoing our briefs right now, adding more information. But if they get it through the Human Rights Council, it will be very, very damaging because it sets an artificial precedent, but a precedent nonetheless.
It could be there for years. So the fact is, General Assembly, it'd be tough to pass something like this through, but you never know what sneaks through at the United Nations. And if you don't educate other countries, this doesn't sound bad on its face. I'm sure we're saying
defamation of religion.
Fight against the Defamation of Religion Act. It doesn't make much sense until you understand what that is. It's a Defamation of Islam Act that means if you talk about any other religion, you don't have to be a Christian, though that's the primary focus here, because there aren't a lot of Hindus in Egypt sitting around talking about their Hindu faith. publicly or that are called to do that. It's Christians that are being persecuted. This act, this resolution, would allow the persecution of Christians in these countries, would allow the death, the murder. It's already happening. These countries already allow it. This would be the UN sanctioning that activity.
Yeah, folks, we need to stand up against this and stand up boldly. Again, the number is 1-877-989-2255. Say no to this UN action. Join us in this petition to stand up against this attempt to redefine human rights, which is what it is. Everybody that's listening should be making the call. Who do we have next?
Chris is calling from Texas as well online, too. Chris, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Chris.
How you doing, sir? I just had two comments, if you don't mind. I'll make them fast. One is kind of like the mentality in New York or other cities where you see someone getting mugged or killed. Nobody does anything about it. We just ignore it. We go on with our lives. That is not the answer. I'm not trying to brag, but I'm a fighter, and I experience adrenaline rushes, and I experience fear before my matches. But the thing is to be afraid of something and to stick my head in the sand like a little
But let me tell you this. This is the good news, and I think Rob's going to be able to confirm this. The Christians are not sticking their head in the sand in this. I mean, let me tell you something. We've been on the air talking about this for a couple of weeks. The response has been, we're going to have over 100. When we go to the UN in September, we're going to have over 100,000 signatures on this petition. It's been a huge response as to what's going on, and the more information we get out there, the more we can do this.
And I've seen it, Jay, when I've traveled to Islamic countries, and I've been the guest of numerous Islamic governments.
Right.
And when they know that Americans in particular are scrutinizing what they're doing, they begin to back away. It has a huge impact on them. What they want to do is do all of this under the cloak of secrecy. When it's exposed, when it's brought out, as you're doing here through this effort, it has a measurable effect. I have seen it myself. I saw it in all places in the Sudan, which is one of the most frightening Islamic regimes in the world. In fact, it's scary to a lot of Muslim countries. And I saw it there. When you start putting the light on it, you see an effect. So this is something that absolutely must be done.
You know, the reality of this is that when you look at the application of Sharia law, that's Quranic law, applied to human rights, it completely changes the definition of human rights.
Well, there is no concept of human rights in Quranic law.
Okay, well, let's say that again. No concept.
There is no concept of human rights, and it's very hard for Americans to put their minds around that, but there is no concept of human rights.
Within Sharia law. So, folks, we've got to fight this and fight it aggressively. Here's what I want you to do. Everyone that's listening to us right now, you go to your phones as we speak, and you dial 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Stand up for freedom of religion internationally. Stand up for Christians that are being persecuted. 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And now there's a new way you can stand with the ACLJ.
ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow with news about an important new way to stay in touch with the ACLJ, the ACLJ wireless service.
With an ACLJ wireless phone, you'll get special updates from me straight to your phone. And the best part, you're helping the ACLJ.
10% of the proceeds from your monthly service go directly to support the ACLJ. Plus, if you sign up today, the ACLJ receives an additional $10 at no extra cost to you. There's flexible and affordable calling plans. ACLJ Wireless, the latest member benefit that saves you money as you support the ACLJ. Other services include digital phone service, DSL for faster internet, and DirecTV. Call ACLJ Member Services, 1-800-311-2501. That's 1-800-311-2501. Or online at aclj.org/benefits. Regent University's School of Law, uniquely positioned, integrating the study of law with biblical principles. At Regent Law School, the study of law is more than just a profession, it's a calling. Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice.
Regent's motto is training Christian leaders to change the world. And right now, in our nation and really globally, lawyers are at the forefront of global change. And Christian lawyers need to be leading that front.
Jay teaches at Regent Law School, where students receive an exceptional legal education.
The common bond of the students at Regent University is the commitment to academic excellence and being taught from a Christian perspective. We have a wide diversity of students with a wide representation of Christian denominations, and I think that's what makes the school great.
If you're considering a career in the law, consider Regent Law School today. The time to apply, right now. Call toll-free at 1-877-267-5072. There's also more information online at regent.edu/law. Regent Law School, training Christian lawyers to change the world.
Everybody, welcome back to Washington, D.C. I'm with Rob Shank, a good friend of ours. He heads up Faith and Action here in Washington, D.C. He's our neighbor a couple of doors down. We've been talking about the whole issue of international religious freedom and the fact of the matter, the persecution that Christians are under right now. I just want to tell you something. This is serious. We're taking it seriously. We've deployed our resources globally to fight this. We're doing it on Capitol Hill. We're doing it at the United Nations in Geneva. We're intervening in cases around the country, so we're taking this very, very seriously. Let's go. A lot of calls are coming in, so we're going to go right back to the phones.
Catherine's calling from Colorado on line 5. Catherine, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Catherine.
Thank you. I have a question and a couple comments, but they're all related. First of all, my grandfather was Jewish. He was a persecuted Jew in Poland during Hitler's time, and he immigrated to the United States, and I am a born-again Christian filled with the Spirit. My question is, the Bible itself says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one."
Correct.
Does it not? Okay.
That's the Shema. That's the famous prayer that are given that Jews recite three times a day, and it's recited in Shabbat services around the world. Yes.
Exactly. Now, we're talking about being persecuted for hate speeches. Here in Colorado and in California, they have passed House bills that if we speak negatively of homosexuality or of the Book of Leviticus or something, we can get imprisoned for a hate crime. That's here in Colorado and in California.
But this is we're talking about, and I understand that. And look, I mean, the law in Colorado, which, by the way, is supposed to have exemptions for this, and there's challenges being leveled against those laws. But there is you mentioned that your grandfather left Poland, was persecuted, and my grandfather left Russia as a Jew, persecuted as well. So I think Rob, Jewish heritage
same
as well.
Life story.
I mean, same life story
out
here.
Of Russia.
Jews who believe in Jesus. Okay, so we understand the torment of persecution. I think that's why we almost have a special obligation to speak out for those who cannot speak out for themselves.
Well, in fact, Jay, you look back and Christians were silent during the Holocaust, and I'm not going to blame Christians, but I'm going to say probably a lot more lives could have been saved had Christians mobilized, and that's why now we can't let that happen again. This poses a threat to innocent people all over the world, but particularly Christians. And unless we act, I don't want people to think, well, okay, I have to go to bed at night thinking that I was the cause of people's murders. But at the same time, if we don't act, we have done nothing to help them.
You know, I spoke today to the Greek Orthodox Church Archons meeting, their clergy and laity meeting over in Washington, just a few blocks from here. And I spoke to some of the leaders of that church about the persecution that's going on in Turkey aimed at the Greek Orthodox Church. Tomorrow, I'm going to Washington, D.C., I'm in Washington, but I'll be going down the street here in Washington. I'm speaking at another event with Congress, the issue there, international religious freedom. This issue is starting to get significant traction, and we're seeing that in our governmental affairs office, not just in the United States. You were just in Strasbourg, but overseas as well.
It is. People are actually starting to pay attention because people are losing their actual lives here. This isn't just about property or churches being burned. Now it's people being burned, people being put in the churches before the burning begins. And it is starting to get real attention. But the scary thing here is this organization putting this forward. As much as some of these countries don't get along, we mentioned Sudan, they're part of the organization. They are all putting forward this message. They want to get rid of the Christian church. They are doing it in their own countries, and they're doing it in other countries peacefully by moving there and by filling the populations full of Muslims. That's not war. That's not declaring violence. But it's a different kind of jihad. It's a different kind of taking over. And you do that by having more children, putting more people in higher positions, getting more people educated. And that's going on around the world, especially in Western Europe.
I said there are wars that are religious wars. We're in one right now. And it's not always fought with ammunition. It's not always fought with terrorists. Sometimes the legal and the parliaments can be utilized by rogue regimes or regimes that are hostile to religion. And they can be used to silence religion. And that's exactly and precisely what's taking place right now with the Conference on the Islamic Organizations, with this major move that they're doing, which, folks, again, I want to tell you, we've got to stand up to it. So what you need to do right now, this is very important, go to your phones, add your name to a petition. It's going to the United Nations Human Rights Council. We're standing up against this defamation of religion issue. We're speaking out for Christians that can't speak out for themselves. Here's the phone number. It's 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Also, ACLJ.org. Over 60,000 have signed up on ACLJ.org alone.
Let's go back to the phones. Katie's calling from Maine on line 2. Katie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Katie.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I probably missed this, but what is Sharia law and how do you spell it?
Well, of course, it's Arabic. So the actual Arabic spelling, I couldn't tell you, but spelled, the English translation of it is S-H-A-R-I-A. Jordan just took a course dealing with this issue of Sharia, Quranic law, and as it compared to biblical law. What is the general essence of it? I'll get Rob to comment on this, too.
There isn't really an equation to this in Christianity, but it's based off of the Quran. It's not the Quran itself, and it's laws interpreted from the Quran. So if the Quran has a teaching against adultery, it's how would you enforce the law on adultery? So it came about right after Muhammad, so still around the 700s. That's like the 8th century time period. It's been put together. Different countries, different kinds of Islam interpreted different ways. But in generally, this is the kind of law that would be relied on for a country to allow the death penalty for apostasy, which is leaving Islam. Because somewhere along, a mullah said, it's okay, the right penalty for this should not be some kind of jail sentence, but should actually be death. That's how these different countries then go back. Really, they can use Sharia law, and that's the scary thing about how it can be abused. They can use Sharia law to implement their political programs.
I think to add to that, again, Christians and particularly Americans have a hard time understanding that within Islam there is no separation between religion and secular. There is no such thing as separation of church and state. There is not a religious and civil government. Some countries have tried to accommodate that, mostly in their interest with relations to the West. But religious law governs every part of every person's life, including right down to every detail of civil law. Sharia is, in fact, both religious and secular law. And so if you violate religious tenets, you're going to pay the same kind of penalty you would in a civil law. There is no separation.
Yeah, and of course they're saying now that they want human rights, which don't exist within the context of the Quran or Sharia, to emanate from Sharia law. Well, that means there are no human rights. Let's go right back to our phone.
Shirley's calling from California on line 4. Shirley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Shirley.
Yes. First, I wanted to thank you so much for doing this. I've known about the persecution going on in these Middle Eastern countries for some time. The reason I called is you mentioned the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Right.
And I have been an Episcopalian for many years, and not now, however. The Episcopalians in this country have been pulling out of the Episcopal Church here for some
right.
time. But the thing that bothers me is that I also heard that the Archbishop of Canterbury had made these comments about Sharia law being part of English law.
And yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and finish. We're running close on time here. Go
all
ahead,
right.
Shirley.
And the thing that bothered me was I did write to him, yes, and told him that this was not something that we would approve of here.
It's beyond that, though. Let me tell you what they've done. They want to incorporate Sharia law into and Sharia courts, Muslim courts, into the English common law system. And then, of course, the comment today, Jordan, and we've only got less than a minute here, from the Archbishop of Canterbury on Christianity being insulting to Islam folds exactly into what the Islamists are trying to do.
That's right. He said that that the violence is incompatible and was blaming ancient church history and then got into a letter. This is a letter to Islamic leaders saying that the Christian belief in the Trinity, that God is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost at the same time, is difficult and sometimes offensive to Muslims. This kind of language coming out of the Christian church, wherever the state of that church is the exact problem with the Defamation of Religion Act. If you start believing this mindset, then you start thinking Christians are oppressors for believing in the Trinity.
I'll tell you something, folks. It's that serious. That's why we brought you this special program. Here's what I want everybody to do right now. You go to your phones as we close this broadcast out. We must speak out for those who cannot speak for themselves. It's that critical. We've got to go to the UN and defeat this bill by the organization of the Alumni Conference. Obviously, it's a huge group. Here's the number, 1-877-989-2255. Let me give you the number again. 1-877-989-2255. You can also go to aclj.org. But you go to your phones right now, 877-989-2255, and take a stand.